Libby Purvis, Yachting Monthly podcast for November 2013. Let us speak of outboard motors. Let us speak of them splenetically between gritted teeth and punctuate our stream of oaths and invective with scornful, scowling, spitting contempt. Let us tear our thinning hair and shake our trembling fists at the cruel, tormenting fate which gives and takes away. That fate first bestowed on us the jolly-laid beauty and peerless utility of the cheap, lightweight two-stroke engine. Then it snatched it from us with an EU regulation about emissions and lumbered us instead with impractical, weighty, treacherous and expensive four-strokes. If fortune had never offered us the British Seagull and its peers in the first place, we might not miss them so much. In the days of buzzing little two-strokes, you see, the smallest, most lightly built crew could with one hand get the engine off the pushpit, or out of the forecastle, because in those days you could lay them down any old how without sabotaging them. You could swing the motor down to the dinghy and fix it on without breaking a sweat, then start it with a vigorous tug, usually. If it sputtered and died for lack of fuel or a dirty plug, you could still row the rubber dinghy with no difficulty, its lightweight causing hardly any drag. And if you were fool enough to tow the dinghy with it on, and a rogue swell made it turn turtle, then a bit of dousing in fresh water and a wipe with an oil rag would persuade the dear thing to start again. Now, the same modest yacht has a thumping four-stroke perched like a vulture on the pushpit, weighing twice as much, hiding its works beneath a poncy cowling, demanding to be laid down in one particular position and falling victim to all sorts of obscure ailments. When it comes to manipulation of the choke, it exhibits all the fretful, demanding delicacy of a Jane Austen dowager invalid whose pillows are never plumped quite right. And when such an engine will cough, fade to silence and refuse to restart, it becomes a great dead dragging weight on the rubber transom, like an extra teenager, only less useful. They make it a lot harder to row, and if you are trying to carry four passengers, maybe even impossible. Loathsome, treacherous, foul deadweights, false friends luring the unwary to anchor far offshore and transport nervous aunties with awkward bags, sprainers of shoulders, slices of ankles, enemies of promise during every transfer to and from the mothership. I hate you all. At least where proper cruising is concerned. I have had reasonable relationships with outboards on my open river boats, Drascombe and Crabber, but that is because the engine lived all season on the transom and only had to be cocked up when the boat was left with a plastic bucket thoughtfully tied on the prop to minimise damage to passing novices bouncing off it in oppies. Those engines were as permanent and peaceful as inboards, and if they didn't work, there was plenty of room in the boat to sit several feet away from the bastards and row home. On a cruising yacht's little tender, they're just poison. The manufacturers of EU-legal outboards are starting to boast of lighter weights and manoeuvrability, but I have yet to meet or speak to a truly contented owner, one who does not mourn the Seagull days and the sweet, neat little two-strokes of the past. Big macho chaps with big, roomy boats may laugh this off and say it's no trouble. Fat cats with hydraulic davits may wonder what the fuss is all about. But we, in the middling, oil-streaked, arm-sprained, cursing community of the betrayed, we are not happy. We exchange rumours of secret warehouses in Belgium where a handshake might win you an old one. We grieve. We cannot be consoled.